Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, Season 12, Episode 309. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And man, we got, again, good episode. Lots of different stuff. I'm excited about my tech rec. I don't have any other ramp.
I haven't even looked at your tech rec yet. Okay.
Don't look at it. Don't. Okay, it's a surprise. I won't. It's not really at all.
I feel like it's a bumper crop.
It's a rehash of another tech rec is really what it is. But that's okay. We're going to get to that at the end. We got weird and wacky at the end. We got some good ones there. But in the meantime, let's dive in. Amazon considers offering veterinary telehealth as it looks to compete with Walmart. Now, number one, I did not know that Walmart did this. Number two, how is your dog going to call in? Like, that's the, that was a really bad joke. I get telehealth. Telehealth makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Veterinary telehealth seems really odd to me.
Like, it does seem a little weird, doesn't it? Like,
it's like my dog has a rash. Let me take a picture. I don't know.
Maybe, but also this is the area that you need to compete with Walmart in.
Also a good question. Yeah. Like,
that's the thing that I'm like, okay.
It feels like Walmart can just have that one. There's certain things where it's like Walmart can just have it.
I think we've talked about this before, is that pets and the veterinary industry in the US is a huge industry.
It is. Yeah.
I mean,
it's
like a third of people or families in the US have pets.
Yeah. I mean, we got three of them in our house. I like one of the three. Yeah. So, you know,
so you're taking the other two to the vet all the time to
that, or I'm just leaving the back door open accidentally a lot and hoping for the best.
Purpose. Yeah, okay. Let's hope whoever's in the family that does like those pets doesn't listen to this podcast.
None of my family listen to this podcast. It's okay.
Man, we could get to 8, 9, or 10 listeners if they would actually listen.
We could really say some stuff in here.
We could double our audience if they would listen. Next up, Spotify is changing its royalty model to crush streaming fraud. Mm-hmm. So this article was fascinating because I didn't understand like all the nuances of some of the stuff that people do on there.
I read the bullet points and I still didn't understand. So like walk me through what's happening here, because I'm not sure I'm following it.
Yeah. So one thing that they're going to do is they're going to say, look, you got to have a minimum number of streams per year before you're allowed to get any kind of income from the pool.
Right.
Which makes sense because some people have tracks on there. And so apparently they have bots that just create tracks and just push them. And then they just get a few listens and then they get these checks of like less than $1. And the overhead, I'm sure, of processing all that, you know, is huge and everything else like that. Yeah. So that's, 0.5% of their royalty pool. But that pool money is going to go back into the pool and then enrich the people that actually do get listened to.
Okay.
So that's one thing.
Okay.
They're going to penalize people that are fraudulently doing activity on their tracks. So again, either having bots or having people just listen to tracks all the time of that one company or a set of companies to drive up the revenue rates. And then saying a minimum length of time. So right now the minimum length has been 30 seconds. Yep. So what a lot of people will do will create a playlist of like white noise to go to sleep by. And all the tracks are 31 seconds long so that the tracks all get to listen and they get credit and then they get their portion. And so you create a 4 or 8 hour track or playlist of 31 second tracks over and over again. So they're going to bump that up to 4 minutes, I believe, or something like that. Not 4 minutes. It's maybe two minutes.
It's longer.
To trigger the royalty payment. Right. I think this all makes sense. And I think it's good for creators, songwriters and musicians that are actual musicians. But you know, this is one of those things where, okay, these are the new rules. So now how are they going to figure out how to circumvent the new rules?
Right.
It's just going to be an ongoing thing, I guess.
Well, next up in this segment, Samsung's moon photos are fake, but so is a lot of mobile photography. And so basically what they're saying is like, hey, look, you know, there's all these videos out of Samsung being able to like zoom in like massively on the moon. It looks amazing with this camera. And basically what they're saying is like, that's all AI enhanced photography. It's not like a true photo. And Yeah. Okay. That's it. I mean, it is, but a lot of mobile photography is like that. Like a lot of it's AI enhanced. So like, okay. Like it's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
and not AI necessarily, even it's algorithmically.
It's
enhanced,
yeah, that's
right?
True.
Like,
that's
they're,
true. Yeah,
they're
yeah,
just
yeah.
using algorithms yeah. to do yeah. all this stuff. So, you know, really the only true photography would be with a film camera.
Yeah.
Put onto. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you can make the argument like digital photography is true photography if it's not being augmented or filtered automatically by a processor, right?
Right.
But then later down the road, they if they're going into Photoshop, then it's not real. It's not really true photography either, right? I mean, it's not
right. And yeah. almost all digital cameras have some kind of features to change white balance or
that's
change
true.
This or change
that's
that.
True, they do. Yeah,
right?
That's a good
so
point. Yeah.
Is that true? That's not what your actual human eye yeah. is seeing.
Yeah.
And it's not what your human eye is seeing because the human eye has better resolution than these cameras do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
film cameras would really be the only true photography. So I don't
know. I did see on TikTok, so I don't know if it's real. I think it's probably not real, but I thought it was funny. this guy had a Samsung phone
uh-huh.
and he like across a dark room, he set up a white dot that was like illuminated. So it
okay.
It would look like the moon at night from far right. away. And then he zoomed in real far on his Samsung phone and it showed the phone superimposing like moon surfaces onto the white dot. Now, again, I don't know if that was real. I would love for you to test that out for me. If you could backlight a white dot and let us know, that would be amazing. I think it'd be a fun test.
I wonder if my phone is new enough for that. I've got a 20, so it's like 3 years old now at this point. So
maybe
I mean,
not.
It's only 3 years old. It's not sad like I've got a Razer flip phone from the 90s or something like that. Come on.
It's a Nokia 3120 from the 90s. That's what you
see. It's so funny because you used to sell cell phones back in the day. I don't know
what you're talking about. I don't know how I pulled that model number out.
Yeah, so clearly
6150. That's what I had. It's a dual.
Is that the flip phone?
No, the 6150 was the one that would work on the newfangled GSM network that had no coverage. And everybody was like, this is terrible. And also the old digital network that had all of the coverage. And everybody's like, this is great. And I was selling cell phones at the moment in time where they're going from digital to GSM. And I'm trying to sell new GSM phones. And people are like, wait, the coverage map is awful. We're in Tennessee. Are you freaking crazy? And I'm like, no, I'm not crazy. I get it, but I want to sell you a cell phone so I can feed myself. So if you buy one, that'd be great. And yeah, it was a really tough time to sell cell phones. I'm just saying.
That's a hard hill to climb.
You pull up that coverage map and there's like more white on it than anything else. And white is no coverage. And you're like, this is bad. This is.
If you want to stay within a mile of the mall, we're good.
We're all set. Or mile of the interstate. Mile of the interstate. You're all set. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can use Google Maps to figure that out. Google Maps is becoming more like search thanks to AI.
Or algorithmic stuff. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Everything's AI. It's like, hey, we're going to build a house and there's going to be AI in the wall. It's not electronic, but it's AI. And we've got new window panes that are AI. It's like that's.
I'm gonna start selling drywall that's AI augmented.
It's AI drywall.
That's my new domain name. AIdrywall.com. This is the best drywall.
It's the best drywall. It's the best.
It has AI.
It knows your needs
built
and
into
it morphs
it.
To them. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. So Google is augmenting maps to add a lot more features. And really the only feature I want is better, quicker driving. Like there's a lot of features here that I'm like,
why would you need those?
That.
I don't need those.
Like there's a flyover version. So to see like what the buildings are on your route or something like that. And I'm like, I'm not driving at that level. I'm driving at the street level.
Yeah, I'm all set.
I don't have a flying car yet. So that view doesn't really help me so much.
Right.
There are
feels
a couple
like
of things that are
for innovation's sake, you know,
right.
Like that's kind of how it feels. Yeah.
There's a couple of things that they are adding that I'm like, okay, I like that. EV chargers, they're starting to add those into the map so that you can find where, which EV chargers are available, which might be operational, which might be broken.
Okay.
I think there's a stat in this article that talks about how, the estimate is that 25% of all EV chargers are broken at any one point in time.
What? No.
Yeah, I've gotten to some of those too. And it's like, oh yeah, that's not working. And it's really kind of annoying. That said, yesterday I was at an EV charger, in a deck that was paid, So I was already paying for parking, but the EV charger was free, and I very much appreciated that.
That's great. There you go. All right. Next up, Google Fiber is getting outrageously fast. Is it 20? Is it gigabits per second? Is
that gigabits?
I didn't want to get it wrong. It's going to be 20 gigabits per second service, which is like, I mean, well, I guess 20 times faster than my best rate right now. So,
right. Yeah.
But I mean, but like, again, and I've said this before, like, why? Like, we're at a point where I will never notice a difference. Okay. Or maybe once every 3 months when I've got like some major game update or something on an Xbox, like, but like, otherwise I'm never going to notice a difference in performance at all. So like,
not yet.
Okay. Right?
So we don't have, I think, the applications and the services and all that to take advantage of.
But maybe like
when
it comes to like VR stuff or like AR stuff, like maybe it gets bigger file. Okay. Yeah. I can see that. That actually makes
this
sense.
I think this is one of the perpetual chicken and egg problems that we've got with technology and bandwidth. Right. Yeah. Like back in the modem days, it was like, oh, we've now got up to 9,600 kilobits per second. You're never going to need more. Oh, okay. Now we've got 33.6 kilobits per second. You're never going to need more. Okay.
Well, it's the same as the hard drive problem, right? I mean, like, I remember getting my first gig hard drive and thinking, I will never in my entire lifetime, literally my life, I will never fill this thing up. Like, one gig. Like, that was it. Like, okay. Well, obviously, I was wrong about that. So.
And now we're talking about, you know, terabyte drives.
Yeah. And like in a terabyte drive, I was like, I'm not sure 1 terabyte's enough. Like, I might need 3 or 4, maybe
that,
5.
That could last for the next couple of weeks. But then what happens after that?
A couple of weeks. Oh, my gosh. That's great. And
part of the reason is because you got all these kinds of messaging. So Automatic is acquiring texts and betting big on the future of messaging. So in case you don't know it, and I actually don't have a text account.
Heard of it. Tell me, like, I don't know anything about this. Like, what
so
is
this
it?
Is like, you remember my tech rec from a while ago called Beeper?
Yeah.
And it combines a bunch of different messaging platforms into one. Texts is the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So it just combines a bunch of messaging things into one.
So should I have this? Is this something I should get? Like this feels like an app that I had literally when I was in college that would allow you to log into all your different AIM accounts and your ICQ account. And so I think it was called Trillion. Like,
Trillion. Yeah. Like, that's what
this is Trillion for the modern age. Is that what this is? Like
pretty much. Yeah. So,
it's got LinkedIn,
WhatsApp,
Instagram,
Signal.
Okay.
So what's interesting about them, and I think this is true about Beeper too, but I don't really remember, is that they say all your stuff is encrypted. It never touches their server. It goes directly into the app. So I've actually been using Beeper, which is free for me. I think there are paid plans, but I'm not using enough to pay for it. And it's really quite nice because it integrates everything into one. And so when I'm trying to message somebody, I just go to Beeper and be like, click on their face and just message. And then I don't really worry about, is it going over Instagram or is it LinkedIn or is it Signal or is it whatever, right? It just figures that out. I don't need to think about it.
So it's never even occurred to me to use a platform like this because I really only message in Slack and just Slack. Like honestly, like I don't like in text.
But,
like that's it. Like that's
but you
it.
Text,
nothing else.
Right? Do you do WhatsApp?
Yeah. With only one group of people, I WhatsApp. There's only one. Yeah.
You don't Signal.
Not really anymore. No.
Yeah.
No.
So see, I've got Signal. I've got WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I actually haven't integrated Slack into Beeper, but I've got Instagram. I put that in there too. LinkedIn. Okay. I put in there. All of this stuff starts kind of combining. And what it means is that I don't necessarily need to have those separate apps on my phone anymore.
Right.
I
can just have Beeper. All there. So, all right. So is text free? Because I don't see any pricing. It looks like it's free.
There is pricing. When you start signing up for it for the wait list, they're like, well, we're rolling people in. But if you want to pay for it right now, we'll get you right to the head of the line.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Got
so. Right. I'm on the wait list. I'm not.
I'm
going to
get on the
wait
list.
Let's see what it does.
I do. So, all right. So for anyone that doesn't know, Automattic is the same group that runs WordPress.com, kind of like founder-ish of WordPress, the WordPress platform. Really, Matt Mullenweg's the guy that got behind all that, Automattic and everything else. So doing a lot of stuff. They also bought Tumblr a couple years ago.
Yep.
And it's kind of not gone anywhere from what I can tell. But basically, I mean, but what they said, what Matt, the head of Automattic, said is like, hey, look, you know, for the longest time, we've been about publishing and about e-commerce. And the next big pillar that we're going to focus on is messaging. And this is the platform for messaging. And it's all about kind of open source and all that sort of goodness. So, okay, cool. I mean, maybe this makes sense. I don't know.
I do wonder if they'll go free with it because they've got a bunch of other applications too. Like I was looking at SimpleNote, I think, which is one of theirs, which is totally free.
Yeah.
And it's basically like an Evernote competitor, but 100%
well,
free.
Well, Evernote's tanking, I think. So that's, well, that's probably, for sure. That's a, that's a whole thing.
So I wonder if they'll take text and make it free as well.
This seems likely to me, but I guess we'll see. All right. Threads Software Limited gives Meta's Instagram 30 days to desist from using the service name Threads. Oh, wow. Okay.
Little caveat there, in the UK. So Threads has been around for Threads Software Limited, the company, right. Yeah, for like 10 years or something like that.
Got it.
And has a trademark in the name. They're actually in a very similar space or the same space. I don't fully understand it because I've never used their product.
Right.
And so they're suing in the UK because it's causing confusion.
I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, Threads is a pretty common, like, you know, like word, term, whatever else. I mean, it's not surprising that, somebody's going to have some rights to it. So
yeah,
I would assume that they launched Threads, the Facebook app, the Meta, whatever it is, knowing that, you know, like, okay, here's the budget for the build. Here's the budget for legal, you know, like that's, you know, that's how you build that sort of thing. So.
Yeah. The crazy thing is that Threads, the Meta app is on threads.net is the website for that. So they don't have the .com, but the .com is somebody else that is a Slack replacement tool.
Oh yeah. I think I remember that.
Potentially confusing as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they haven't sued yet. And these, I don't know. I don't understand what's happening here because really Meta should just buy that company so they own the domain name.
Yep.
And then kind of move on from there. And
right.
And I think they probably have a really good argument in the UK if they own the .com to be like, well, we own the .com.
We own the .com. I mean, what are you gonna do?
You didn't buy the .com 10 years ago. So next up, Biden issues the U.S.'s first AI executive order requiring safety assessments, civil rights guidance, research on labor market impacts. Mm-hmm. And so my first question is, what is AI defined as?
Ooh, that's a really interesting question.
Because large language models are not really AI. They're algorithmic predictions of what words to put after what other words.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So that's not.
But
AI.
Then people, I mean, other people would say, would probably argue that they are AI, and therefore, to your point, what are we defining as AI? Right.
Yeah. Because
I would assume it's, I'd assume it's anything that's creating something out of a prompt. Which,
but is it? Is that really? That's a bunch of algorithms. Just because you don't understand how it's working doesn't make it AI, right? Like.
Right.
You can look at your TV and be like, I don't understand.
AI. I don't understand my garage door and how it goes. It's AI. It's an AI garage door. Yes. We have an AI drywall. We got AIGarageDoor.com. We're crushing AI today.
I mean, you don't understand how the pictures get into your TV. Does that make it AI? Most people don't, right?
No,
like they don't understand. That's mostly true. Understand it, but there's still some magic parts to it. It's not AI, right?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
What does this mean? I haven't read the executive order.
Right.
I doubt they define AI.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it leaves a pretty big loophole for people to be like, oh, we don't, this doesn't apply to us because this is algorithms, not AI.
I do like the direction though, like the safety assessment, civil rights guidance, like what's it trained on? Like, I mean, I think all that's important and we got to start doing some kind of legislation to make 100%. Sure this is under control. So to your point, like, yeah, there's probably some big loopholes in there. But at least it's a step in that direction, which I think
it's a first step for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. ChatGPT Plus members can upload and analyze files in the latest beta. So I will be able to upload a PDF file and be like, tell me all about this PDF. Summarize this legalese for me and be my lawyer, ChatGPT. And it'll be like, I'm not your lawyer. Go get a lawyer. Stupid. Other than that. So
And it'll be like, I'm algorithms, not AI. So I'm just going to crunch this and spit out a bunch of stuff.
I will say, man, like I am so loving ChatGPT Plus. Like, still, like, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so great. It's integration with DALL-E 3 and being able to create images right there from ChatGPT is like, it's so fun. It's great.
Yeah. So, yeah. I gotta admit, I don't really use any of those that often, if ever. Like, the last time I opened up one of those, Bard, ChatGPT, or whatever, yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I use it. Like, I'm doing a lot of work in like strategy, document creation, outlines. And so I'm like, yeah, hey, give me an outline of how I would test this. And it spits it out. I'm like, point number one's good. Point number four is good. I don't like the rest. All right. And then I go write my own. And like, it's, right, just, it's a good idea generator. But then, yeah, like, even better is like, so I've said before on the show, like, my daughter's on the rowing team at Alabama. And the morning of her race last weekend, uh-huh, I used ChatGPT and DALL-E 3 to generate an image, or no, generate an image of the Alabama team rowing on the water. And it said, you got, with a banner, it said, you got this. Everybody had like the Alabama logo and all. I mean, it was like perfect. And I sent it to her. I was like, hey, you got this. Like, and it was kind of great. So, you know, it's just fun for little goofy stuff like that.
I should maybe try goofy things like that.
It's super fun. It's, yeah. Send them to your kids. I mean, they'll be like, they'll roll their eyes at you and be like, you're such a dad. And I'm like, I know. So, you know.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot. First up on Weird and Wacky, adding crushed rock to farmland pulls carbon out of the air.
Okay, so first of all, confession. I didn't have time to read this one. Second of all, what the what? Like, what? Like, what?
I know. It's crazy science. So they figured out that by crushing up volcanic rock,
okay,
and then adding it into farmland,
uh-huh,
you could actually make the farmland remove carbon from the air. Yeah.
That's wild.
So the rain combines with the volcanic rock and captures carbon dioxide from the air and locks it up and, I don't know, does science-y stuff or something.
Okay. All right. So here's a paragraph that I just found that's fascinating. So here's the paragraph. The study found the plots with crushed rock stored 0.15 tons of carbon dioxide per hectare, which is
hectare, which is
2.47 acres during the study compared with plots without crushed rock. So that's significant. Though researchers expect different weathering rates in different environments, if this amount of carbon was removed across all California cropland, it would be the equivalent of taking 350,000 cars off the road every year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
And it's pretty amazing, like all of the science and developments that are happening around climate issues right now.
Right.
Obviously, we need them all and we need them faster. But it's good. It's heartening that some of this stuff is happening, and then maybe we're all not going to die.
Maybe
the species will survive.
Speaking of hope for the future, this 18-year-old built a better computer monitor that doesn't strain your eyes. And I'll add, and it's really weird looking. and also, like, how does an 18-year-old build a computer monitor? Like, that's my other, like this 18-year-old must be brilliant, number one. But number two, like, how do you even have the components? And like, I can't even fathom it, man, but I'm so impressed. So basically it's a computer monitor, and imagine like a flat screen monitor, but with the back sort of pivoted away from the screen about 45 degrees.
Yep.
And the light from the room reflects off the back through a slightly translucent display that has your image and stuff on it. And it lights up the display from behind using the ambient light from the room. And apparently this is somehow better on your eyes. I don't understand why that is, but it's crazy looking. Like, it's,
yeah, I don't understand why it's better than using an LED. Maybe it's because the light is more natural.
Or maybe it's more consistent with the rest of the room. So it's not like brighter or less bright or something. But yeah. it's impressive. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it's impressive.
So the thing that I thought of when I saw this was like, yeah, developers are gonna hate this, because almost every developer I know likes to be in a dark room with their monitors bright and work.
Yeah.
And that, I do not enjoy that personally.
Yeah, even but this is, I write code, I don't, man, like that. This is for like This is for office workers, man. Like, just me and you, we're staring at a screen. Don't want our eyes to be hurting, you know, I guess. I don't know. My eyes don't hurt, but whatever.
But I also wonder if this would be useful, and they show it in the article, outside, so that the sun doesn't wash out the display. Because if the sun's bright, then the display gets even brighter. Right. And you're not using electricity to light up the display. So maybe it's also energy efficient.
That's true. That's right? true. Yeah. I mean, if you're listening, go to the show notes and take a look. It's definitely worth a look right now.
Yeah. Next up, also yet another thing that's kind of weird looking. NASA tech breathes life into potentially game-changing antenna design. So up until now, what they've always done is that they've had to launch these satellites with these big giant dishes, which you can't really compact too much down.
Right. Yep.
And so this person and this, the backstory of how they figured this out is hilarious. So he was like 30 years ago, this engineer was at home making chocolate pudding and then got a call. He had stretched plastic over the pot to keep the pudding fresh. And by the time he returned, the cool air in the pot had made it into this like concave shape that had warped the plastic. And he saw the reflection of the light bulb overhead and kind of thought about it and said like, yeah, well, you know, we could maybe use balloons. So basically what they've created is this balloon that has a reflector on one part of it. And so when it goes up in the satellite, it's deflated. And then when they get up there, they inflate the thing. So then it's a full size reflector and then they can use it as a antenna, which it's like, that's super smart.
That's crazy.
So you can get a bigger antenna shipped up there than it would normally be possible, or it'd be more expensive to do with a bigger antenna.
Listen, those NASA engineers are something else. You know, they really are. They're just something else.
Yeah. So. I don't know how they think all day. Like,
I don't. That's amazing.
How do those neurons fire?
Speaking of something else, Urban Outfitters is selling, quote, vintage retro iPods and millennials' feelings are hurt. So the image they have in this is the iPod that was my first Apple product actually ever, and that's the one that was your first
Apple product.
It was, and it was I take that back. I had one of the original like second generation Apples when I was a kid that my dad bought, but the first Apple product that I bought myself. Because I'd bought like Dell computers up to that point was this iPod. And
dude, you got a Dell.
I did. And it was so well designed. I remember opening up and the design was so exceptional. I was just like, this is unbelievable. And anyway, they're selling them. And apparently like there's this big trend for younger generations to go back to more vintage stuff. Wired headphones are coming back, making a comeback.
Really?
This iPod is kind of a part of that. My question is, like, you had to have iTunes and sync up a bunch of songs that you owned MP3s to in order to put them on the iPod back then. Like, how do you do that now? Like, I used to own thousands of MP3s. I don't own them anymore. I don't even know where they're at. I wouldn't even know where to find them. Like, so I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Maybe, that's a good question because these are vintage iPods. So they don't have any new software on them.
Yeah. So how do you get music onto it? Like, there's gotta be a way, right?
Why the kids these days are buying up the CDs.
Maybe
I need to break out all my CDs that I still have sitting here and then they can buy them and then rip them into MP3s.
I did like the social post that they featured in the article that said, "What circle of hell are we in that Urban Outfitters is selling iPod classics now?" That was the question. Well, yeah, that's a good point. But no, it was that iPod, man. It was one of the most unbelievable purchases I ever made. It was wild. So all that music in your pocket, so great.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck.
Time to get your tech wreck. All right, Adam, it's time for Tech Rex. What do you have for us this week?
So this is
teased it so much up front. It better be good, by the way.
Yeah, well, it is good. This is an update to a previous Tech Rex, actually. So it's the Halo Bolt Compact Portable Car Jump Starter. So I've recommended the Halo Bolt Car Jump Starter before. This one is compact. So it's even smaller than the original. I mean, it's shockingly small. And you can use this thing. It's basically just a big battery, and it'll jump off your car if it's dead. You can use it to power your laptop, or you can use it to recharge your phone, or like all kinds of. So it's basically just this huge power bank for you to use. And but I mean, again, big enough to jump off your car battery, which is kind of amazing. So I bought two recently for my
kids. Do you mean jump start your car battery?
Yeah, jump start your car.
And the thing that I'm imagining is that like this thing sits on your car and then it just jumps off the car.
It just piles. It actually goes through the windshield.
No, nah, I'm out.
I'm out of here. No. You're right. Jump start the car. But I bought it for my kids because, uh-huh, you know, they're out and about and everything. And you don't ever want to break down. And so it's like, okay, this is great. And it's pretty affordable and it works just fine. So I got the ugliest design I could because it was the cheapest. So there was a marble design that was like, it was like $15 cheaper than all the other ones. I'm like, yeah, I'll have the ugly design. I don't care. We're good. Like, I don't need this.
Like, how often are you looking at this thing?
Never. It's in a case. You're never looking at it ever, except for when you're using it. And then you're out in the cold and you're trying to jumpstart your car. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm looking at these right now. Yeah. That like the camo is yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Oh, the
camo's cheap too, actually.
Yeah.
The black one's expensive though.
Yeah. So the black one's like $99. And then there's like a camo one for like $69. Like what? Like who's going to buy the $99 one when you could buy a $69 or $65 one's the one I bought? I mean, like,
yeah, yours was even cheaper. The marble one.
Deal. So anyway,
I got to have the rose gold one. Like
you gotta go rose gold.
I got to.
That's your thing. That's your
pay
thing.
The extra for the rose gold to make it match.
All right, Sanjay, what's your tech record this week?
So yet another device on the whole home automation safety kind of.
Ooh, I'm going to like this one,
thing
aren't I?
That I'm on. Yeah.
Okay.
So one thing I worry about, and we've had some issues already with, is appliances vomiting water everywhere. So right. I found this thing. It's the Eve Water Guard. Now, what I like about this, I've looked at a bunch of them, and there's a bunch of them that are just like little pucks, and you put them on the ground, and when they have water, then they sense it, and then they go off, which is fine and great. But what this thing does is you actually plug it in, and it's got a cable 6.5 feet long. And once it gets wet on the cable, the thing goes off. So it's not just one point. So like an example is your washing machine. You take this thing and you ring the washing machine with the cable.
Yeah.
So that if the water comes out anywhere, you know, you've got a better chance of it detecting it and this thing going off.
So that's so cool.
You don't have to have the home automation for this thing to work. You can just plug it in and the siren will go off when it detects water. And it says 100 decibels. I was like, how loud is that? I tested
it.
Loud. It's not super loud. It's not deafening.
Okay.
Like my house alarm is louder than this thing, but it's loud enough that you're going to notice it. And there's a red light that's flashing. So it'll help draw your attention to it. But if you do have home automation system, you can connect this up with it using Thread and Apple HomeKit.
Okay.
And then you can get other things to happen because of it. So when it senses wet, you can have the lights come on in the room or whatever so that you know that something's going on over there and help guide you to it. So I've gotten one so far. I've already tested it, installed it, and played with it a little bit. I'm liking it. I'm actually going to get more. They're not cheap. They're $100 a piece.
I mean, $100 to make sure you don't have water damage is cheap. Comparatively speaking.
Right, you know? Exactly. And we've had that problem before in our house where things have been left on and water has gone through the house. And let me tell you, that is a pain. $100,
worst.
Totally worth dealing with that.
Dang, that's awesome, man. I'm gonna add that to my wish list. That's a good one. Yeah. All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
AdamJWalker.com. It's the place to be.
It's the place to be.